Jesus Christ is risen. There is no other leader in the world risen today. They are all dead. Jesus is the only Savior. There is none like Jesus. When you talk to other people, there are all kinds of people in the world. There are Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and Jains and all kinds of people in the world. And when you talk to them and tell them that Jesus is the only Savior, they don't like it. But when you ask them, how can you go to heaven? What is the plan for your life? How can God take you to heaven, or what you have to do to go to heaven? They have no answers. So we have the answers, and we have to let the people know what our Bible teaches. Now just think, in the beginning, when you read in our Bible, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. And when you say heavens and earth, he's talking about the earth and this atmosphere and the second heaven where the sun, moon and stars are there. But when you start thinking about the God's creation, the third heaven was created first. And in that third heaven has the land, has the mountain, has the garden, and God's throne, and angels. And those all were created before this our world was created. And many people do not know the God's creation. There are so many books on angels. Today I'm not talking about angels, but God created different kinds of angels. And one of the angels was the doing singing and praising God and leading the choir, and he was doing a great job. Some pride came in him. God has created all creation with a free will. So he created all the angels to free will. If they want to worship, they can worship. If they don't want to worship, they don't have to worship. God never created any robots. And that's why the first angel rebelled against God. And what was his sin? I will be just like God. Let's fight against God. It was a foolish idea. No creation can fight with the Creator. And people do not know these things, and they just try to fight with God. And the Word of God says they were defeated. But let's read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 to 15.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Now, this is what happened to the angel. All his thoughts and all his ideas, he gave it to his followers, and they fought against God, and the revelation said 1/3 of angels were thrown out from heaven. Now, even though they were thrown out from heaven, they were still had power, and so they were thrown out at that particular time. God was still thinking what God is going to do. Angels were worshiping God, and then now the 1/3 of they lost their blessings. We have more to read about him, but if you have time, read book of Ezekiel chapter 12 to 17. But we don't have time. The devil means the enemy of God, going against God. So God cut them off from the heaven. Some people say, why God made the man? God had the plan to make a man to put this angel to shame. God gave these angels outward beauty, but God never gave them the flesh and blood and the likeness of God. The Word of God says God created man in likeness of him. And he created man like with a body, soul, and spirit. If you remember last week, we learned that Jesus was saying, I'm not a ghost because I have the body, I have the bones, I have the flesh. The devil or the angels, they don't have a flesh, they don't have a body, they have the spirit. But here we learn when the angel committed sin, he was thrown out of the heaven. But the God was still planning that one day I'm going to make a man. And why God was creating man? If you read in the Word of God, to just praise him, to just adore him, to just worship him. And that was the plan of God. And then when we see when God created man according to his image, the man was having fellowship with God. Man was worshiping God. God used to come to the garden and talk to the man every day. And then we know how the devil came in the garden, how he deceived the mankind. What did he say? He says the same thing. If you eat this fruit, forbidden fruit, you will be just like God. He wanted to be like just God, and he wanted to be over God, and he wanted to do the same thing to these people. And the Word of God said they were deceived. When God gave all the kingdom to the mankind, when God created man, he says, subdue everything, be a king of this land, and take care of this garden. Enemy comes, Adam's supposed to say, get out of my garden. But he allowed him to come in, and then he was deceived. Means his wife was deceived, and then he was deceived. So what happened? The sin came into this world. God did not destroy mankind right away, because God still had the plan to redeem the mankind and make the mankind greater than the angel. So what happened? The Word of God says, even though he gave the plan of salvation in the Garden of Eden, he promised the Redeemer. But the Word of God says, even though before the foundation was laid, God had the plan. Because God knew what's going to happen. God knows everything from the end, from the beginning. He knows the future. We do not know our future, but God knows. So here we see the Word of God says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. The book of Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, he says this Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Please read.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
So now you can see this Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. What does it mean? In the mind of God, in the mind of Christ, it was already settled that the Son is going to be a Lamb of God, and he is going to redeem the mankind. So now what happens when God created this man and man committed sin, and you know the whole story, he did not bring Jesus Christ right there in the same moment. But the Word of God says what God did, God was patiently waiting for the right timing. Sometimes you want everything instant, but God does everything on his time. So we see from the beginning, Cain killed his brother Abel. Then the sin came into this world more and the curse came more into this world. Then there was another prophet was preaching about God. His name was Enoch. And they tried to kill him because he prophesied that someday God is going to come with his mighty angels and destroy the whole earth, and he's going to rule on this earth for eternity. He was preaching this before the Noah's flood. And the Word of God says he walked with God and God took him to heaven. And God is keeping him until the end time. Then we see the time of Noah. People start doing all kinds of evil things. And God wanted to destroy the whole world. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then you know the story how God protected Noah. And the Word of God says after the Noah, God chooses Abraham, even though Abraham comes from the Seth family, but his parents start doing idol worship. They were not supposed to do that. And they start doing the idol worship. And that's why God called Abraham and blessed him. And he said through him, he's going to bless the whole world. Then from Abraham, we see all these 12 tribes of Israel and the Jewish nation comes. Then God gives Moses law, the sacrifice for the mankind. And all these people start doing sacrifice, not knowing why God is telling them to do. This blood sacrifice is going to point towards Jesus Christ. We learn, if you remember, Mosaic law will not make any man perfect. Only Jesus can make us perfect. So what happened here, even though that blood was pointing towards Jesus Christ, those people didn't understand anything. Blood of goats and bulls only can cover your sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins away. And so we see when the time of Moses was not able to lead the mankind. He was frustrated. And then he said, God is going to send a prophet just like me. And you will listen to him. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19. In book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 13, he said, I sought a man can stand in the gap, but he could not find one. You see, from the Enoch to the John the Baptist, all the prophets, not a single prophet was perfect. Ezekiel 22, 30. He says he was looking for the man who is going to stand in the gap. What gap? Between man and God. There was a big, huge gap. Means man was disconnected from God. The word of God says there is a bigger wall of partition between man and God. The day man committed sin, the man became enemy to God. And so, why we enemy? Because the devil was the enemy. And when you're listening to the devil, you are in the devil's side. So you are fighting against God. So we were enemy to God. And that's why the God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap. But there was none. Why? Because each and every person born into this world is a sinner. And the sinner cannot save mankind. Now there are so many religious people around the world, and they think about themselves, they are good people and religious people. But according to the word of God, not a single person is innocent, and the single person is righteous, and the single person is holy. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune one God is a holy God. And there is none holy. So he was looking for somebody, and he says he did not find anyone. And then there was a conference in heaven. He says, who will go for us? Please read this and then go to the Isaiah chapter 6.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Now, when you read that, Isaiah chapter 6, God is saying, whom I shall send, for what? To redeem the mankind. But in the chapter, if you read, Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. But what kind of situation was it when Jesus Christ came into this world? Go to the Psalm 14.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
He says there was none looking for God. They were all sinners. They were all went astray. And even though some people said in their mind, their heart, there is no God. And that's why the idol worship came into this world. People did not see God with their eyes, so they made their God according to their imagination. Not only that, whatever they see and they could not understand, they thought that's a God, like a sea and the mountains and many, many animals, they start worshiping. But the Word of God says, no one was looking for God. They were gone astray. Go to the Romans chapter 3, starting from verse 10. He says, it is written, and then he says,
as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Now, when you say it is written, when you look in the book of Psalms, it says, there was no righteous man. God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He could not find. He says, who will go for me? Jesus said, I'll go. And that the timing was right when Jesus Christ came. Please read. Start reading from 10 to 18.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Can you see these things are still happening in the world? And this kind of the world was before Jesus Christ came. When the people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their hearts are changed, their minds are changed, their lifestyle is changed, and now we are separated from this world. We are not the same people like we used to be before. And this kind of situation was there. That means there was a spiritual darkness. Luke chapter 1, verse 79.
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
And so Jesus Christ came into this world. If you read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, exactly says there was a darkness in this world. But the Jesus Christ is the only one, did not live in sin, did not commit any sin. He was not in the darkness. He was the light of the world.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
But God was going to send his Son as a light of the world. And John says in St. John chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus Christ was the light, and that light was the life of the man. Please read.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
In him, in whom? Jesus Christ was the life, and that life was the light of man. That means once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to shine. The people are going to see Jesus in you. And the Jesus Christ is going to do the signs and wonders and miracles through you. And the people are going to say, you are something special. And glory goes to Jesus Christ. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ came as the light and the life of God. When Jesus Christ comes in, the darkness goes out. And we can live a godly life. And now all the people in the world, living in sin, living in darkness, and they do not know the plan of salvation for the mankind. But we have to tell people, only the grace of God is sufficient for mankind to know God. Go to the book of Romans 3, Romans chapter 3, start reading from verse 22 to 26.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
If you need a grace of God, doesn't matter you are Hindu or Muslim or any religious person, there is no difference. God wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why we read in the St. John chapter 3, verse 16. What we read? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but he says through him the whole world might be saved. Today, the grace of God's, the door is still open. Until the church is here, the Spirit of God is here, the grace of God is here available for mankind. Okay, read verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Now here it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What happened? When the man was created, he had the spiritual glory. But when he committed sin, he lost the glory. But the God wanted to give that glory back to mankind, and we received that glory from Christ. So now if somebody is a believer, that person can have the glory of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and everything what God has, he has given to us. So God has given us more glory, more power to us than anybody else. So we have to tell the people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as soon as you are born again, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says you are the children of God. And God gives us the robe of righteousness. And so he covers everything, and then our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgotten. There is no record of our sins. And then we shine like a righteous people. And God gives his glory to mankind. There are so many people do not know what God can do when you are a believer. We will be learning more. But here the Word of God is saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ said, I did not come for the righteous people. I came for the sinners. He said, we are looking for the sinners. We are looking for the people who are needy. If somebody is not hungry, you cannot feed him. Only person is hungry, you can give him a dry bread, he will thank you. And so God is looking for the needy people. There was a one man, he used to pray, oh God, we are a needy people. We are needy and we need your help. That's what you have to say. Lord, I'm a sinner, I need you. Jesus is the only Savior, because Jesus Christ, only person, did not commit sin. Sinless person can save sinners. If you are a weak person and you are yourself dying and you don't have strength to pick up a paper, can you pick up some man and help him from the ditch? No. The same way, the sinners cannot help sinners to go to heaven. On this earth, there are all blind leaders, like Jesus Christ said, and the blind leaders leading people are blindly. And so Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Keep on reading.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
What is he saying? Being justified freely. The Word of God says you are not saved by the silver and gold or the precious things, just the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the people in other countries, they are giving sugar, coconut, money, flowers to get saved. And they are doing journey, hundreds of miles journey to their holy places. And still when they come out, they are still sinners. So the Word of God says God has given us freely his grace. And without his grace, not a single man can be saved. Keep on reading.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God.
The man committed sin, and man supposed to die for his sin. And so the man could not redeem himself. So the Word of God said Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God, and he died behalf of you, and he redeemed you. So you don't have to die. So Jesus Christ did the work for us. Verse 26.
To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
So he said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, God will see through the blood of Jesus Christ that you are not a sinner. He sees through the blood of Jesus Christ a man is a righteous man, because all sins are forgiven, forgotten, washed, cleansed, and there is no record of your sins. God says, I will forgive and forget your sins. So that's what God did, and he did by his grace. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and start reading from verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
What did he do? He saw the mankind. Nobody's looking for me. Nobody's doing righteousness. Nobody's searching for me. They are going astray. I'm going to have mercy on them. And he showed his mercy through Christ, because he sacrificed his own son for the mankind. The word of God says he gave his only begotten son to die for the mankind. Do you think it is impossible for God to give you a house or the car or the wife or husband? No. Go to the book. We'll come back here. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8 and start reading maybe verse 32 or so.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
That means if he gave his son, then there is nothing impossible to give anything else. He sacrificed his own son for mankind. And so the God is able to give everything. The word of God says even though you think or imagine whatever you want, God is able to give more abundantly. And sometimes we sit there and cry and curse God, and God didn't do this and God didn't do that. God has done everything on the cross. Only thing, you have to receive it by faith. Ephesians chapter 2.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Can you imagine? He says, when we were dead in sin. When Adam committed sin, he died spiritually. You remember God said to him, the day you will eat this forbidden fruit, you will surely die. And people start thinking, he didn't die, he had the children, he lived a long time. No, he spiritually died. The death means separation. When man dies, his body separates from his soul, and then we say man is dead. Now his spirit supposed to go to God. If that spirit doesn't go to God and goes to hell, that's a death. So the word of God says we were dead in sins. Jesus Christ came and quickened us in Christ Jesus. Now we are alive. Go ahead, keep on reading.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Can you imagine? The word of God says we were enemy to God. We were sinners. We were dead. But once quickened by the Spirit of Christ and we are born again Christians, we are not the citizen of earth anymore. We are the citizens of heaven. So when Christ comes, we will be going with him, because we are not the citizens of this earth. So we are strangers and we are travelers. We want to go to heaven. And so the word of God says, Jesus Christ comes in you. He quickens you. You became the citizens of heaven. And spiritually you lift it up and you are sitting at the right hand of Christ right now. Somebody says, I don't see it. Yes, you spend some time in prayer. Spend some time speaking in tongue. Spend some time glorifying God. And then somebody will notice, even though you don't. Your face will change and you will know that you are sitting in the presence of God. One day my wife received the Holy Spirit, and when I came, so she filled with the Holy Spirit and she opened the door for me. And before she could say, she wanted to say, I filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, don't tell me. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. I can see the glory of God in your face. You remember Moses was with God, and when he came down, his face was shining, and people start saying, "Oh, we don't want to see your face. Cover your face." When you stay in the presence of God, you see the God's glory, not yourself, but the people are going to see. So here the word of God says, once you are in Christ, you are lifted up into heaven. We are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. We are the heavenly people. We are the heavenly citizen. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
God's grace is upon you. Only believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. You don't have to do anything. God already sacrificed his Son, already gave his blood for you. And somebody says, why blood? Jesus Christ's blood is so powerful. That blood has power to heal you, save you, cleanse you, and make you the child of God. Okay, let's read verse 9.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Now here he's saying, you cannot do any works to get saved. If somebody is saying, I'm trying my best to go to heaven, you cannot try anything to go to heaven. Jesus is the only way. What Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, no one can go to Father. So there is only one way. Jesus Christ says, there is no other way. He said, I am the real bread. I am the real water. I am the real life. Come to me. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Do you know when you get the rest means what? No war, no famine, no quarrel, no fighting, no lack of food, no sickness, no disease. Then you have rest. If somebody is sick in your house, you don't have rest, you are restless. If some problem in your house, you are restless. Jesus Christ says, I will give you rest. Come. You don't have to spend anything. Free. He says he has given us everything free. You don't have to do anything. You cannot go to heaven with the money. That's why St. Peter says, silver and gold is not going to save you, but the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to tell people, you are spending money to go to heaven, but your money will not take you to heaven. If that's the way it was, then all the rich people will go to heaven and all the poor people will go to hell. He says, I'll take you to heaven. Just come and believe my Son, Jesus Christ. I have seen poor people, no houses, no food, no clothes, nothing. And I was not able to give anything to them. I just gave them Jesus. A year later when I went, the people got houses. They got jobs, they got food, they got children, they got blessed. Once they receive Jesus Christ, they have everything what the world doesn't have. Christian life is not defeated life. If we have nothing to boast, he is the one supplying our needs. Let's go back and please read that verse 10. Verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Can you imagine? Here, first of all, said, we cannot boast anything that we should get saved. But now he said, you are created before the foundation of the world that you should do good things. But how? In Christ. Without Christ, you cannot do anything. Without Christ, everything is wrong. Everything is upside down. Everything is unperfect. But in Christ, you can do all things and you can do great things in Christ. So we have to be rooted and grounded in Christ so we can do more things. But the people, what they're doing today, oh, God is so good. Nobody can perfect. We just studied last week in our Bible study. We cannot say we are not perfect. If we say we cannot be perfect, then Jesus Christ coming into this world will be in vain. He shed his blood to make us perfect. When he shed the blood and we apply the blood and God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he says? You didn't commit any sin. You are righteous. means we are perfected in Christ. So don't say, oh, we are sinners, nobody can perfect. We are perfected in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Word of God says. We can do all things through Christ, St. Paul says, that He strengtheneth us. All things. There is nothing impossible that man of God or woman of God say, I cannot do it. Everything is possible with the man of God, but not without Christ, with Christ. So man was not able to do any good. From Adam to John the Baptist, they could not do anything right and perfect. Jesus Christ came, He obeyed the Father, He died on the cross, and the Word of God says, because of that, His name above all names. So now when you use the name of Jesus Christ, all the cancer, all the sickness, all the disease has to bow down to Jesus Christ. So we have the great name of Jesus Christ. So now here the Word of God is saying, go to the book of Romans chapter 2. Here the Word of God is saying, God is gracious, God is loving, and people take advantage. Start sinning and not understanding our God is graciously waiting for you to repent. Please read verse 4. Romans 2, 4.
Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
So what he's trying to say, verse 4, he says, when God is waiting and He is giving you a chance to repent, but when we don't repent, then the judgment comes. God is a good God. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But He has opened the door for us. He has already saved us through Christ. We were not able to do anything. So there is only one Savior in the world, that is Jesus Christ. Only one name under heaven is given to mankind, that is Jesus Christ. There is no one can save mankind but Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead and He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And then when He comes out of the grave, He showed Himself for so many people. And we learned last week, in front of all these 500 people, He went to heaven. Jesus Christ is risen and He went to heaven in front of all the people. So our Jesus Christ is the only one got the victory over sin, sickness, disease, and death. So once we got that kind of Savior, you don't have to worry. He gives everything what you need. Shall we rise in the name of Jesus? We believe in our hearts. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He has given us the eternal life. So Lord Jesus, You have chosen us before the foundation of the world so we can glorify Your name. We can do the great things for You. So Lord Jesus, there are people dying without God and without Christ. We want to bring them to the salvation. We want to bring them to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank You for giving us that grace. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Please be seated.